So let me just pray here. Heavenly Father, I pray that your will be done here. I pray, Father God, that you would give me your thoughts, your wisdom, your insight, and that, Lord, our hearts and our minds would be yielded to your will for our lives. Thank you, Savior, for all that you're doing in and through Living Faith Church. In Jesus our Lord, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Now, Mark, do we have partnership, little partnership booklet things? You know, those little cards. Have we got plenty of them there? Now, they're in the back, are they? Could you possibly just nip and get some? Or whoever knows where they might be. Okay, thank you. Turn with me then, please, to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. The book of Ephesians. And just a little thing to note about the book of Ephesians. Really, Ephesians was a book written, they think, about 60 to 63 AD. When you think about that, it's quite something, isn't it? 60 to 63 AD, isn't that remarkable? They think that Ephesians, some of the early manuscripts of Ephesians don't have the word Ephesians in them. So they think the book of Ephesians was, thank you, Mark, a book that was a circular to the churches. So Ephesians is written as a circular to all the Christian churches. And it's really a book that's meant to give doctrine to those early believers, and encouragement for them to grow in the things of God. So let's look then at chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians. And in chapter 3, and I want us to get a hold of this, because I think I'm going to go through the book of Ephesians, but by way of an introduction, so to speak, and in a way of us applying our minds, our thinking to the book, it's good for us to look at these passages this morning. And in Ephesians 3:19, it reads this: to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, sometimes we read these passages, and I want to encourage you this morning, every time you go to the Bible, please don't do what so many people do. They go to the Bible and they say, "Oh yes, I know this one. I've read this one before," and they just pass over it. Or else they say, "Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. That's interesting." And then 2 minutes later, it's forgotten. No, when we go to the Word of God, this is the Word of God. This is the most influential book in the history of the world. This book has shaped societies. This book is really. Has been stamped into the Western world. This book has shaped much of what we see in society today. Much of certainly the good stuff that we see in society as we look back through history was shaped through the Word of God. The British legal system is shaped through the Word of God. What I'm saying is this: please, when we read the Word of God, apply our minds to it. Don't just read it as a sentence as you would a sentence in any other book. Just think, this is God speaking to me. I mean, you could imagine, sometimes I do this. I find myself so often skimming through. I mean, if you're like me, you'll do the same probably. Well, I know it's the case, because I know that we're flesh. And what happens is we read, and then what happens, we reread it, and it's good. And sometimes we even get a bit sleepy reading it. Have you ever found that?
Yeah.
But what I do is sometimes I picture Jesus there. Because, you know, in John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was there in the beginning. Logos is the Greek. And the Word is Jesus. It's a title in that context of Jesus. And so sometimes I picture Jesus there before me as I'm reading the Bible. And if Jesus was saying these words to me, I wouldn't just say hear them quickly. Or I wouldn't want to fall asleep. I would want to pay attention. And you know, have you ever heard of anyone who's had a vision of Jesus? I've heard of people who've had visions of Jesus. And you know, if they have a vision of Jesus, and Jesus appears to them in a vision, and he says something to them, that stays with them for the rest of their lives. Well, let me tell you this. The word of God that we read is no different to Jesus himself appearing in a vision to us. We should view the word of God with that level of seriousness. And to honor Jesus is to honor his word. You meet someone who doesn't have much regard for the word of God, they don't have much regard for Jesus. There's no difference. The word of God, this is Logos. Jesus was called Logos. It's a title of Jesus in the scripture. So this is very important. So with that in mind, let's read this again. Ephesians 3:19, it says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And the first thing in that sentence that strikes me and jumps out of the text to me is to know the love of Christ. The text is saying that we should know the love of Christ. Well, you know, I went into it. I started to look at what it is to know. Then I looked at the Greek, and I looked at the sentence of the Greek, and I looked at that word, know. This is what it says. To know, especially through personal experience. So let's read it again. To especially know through personal experience the love of Christ. Through personal experience the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. And when we do know through personal experience the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, what happens is that we may be filled with all of the fullness of God. What the scripture is saying in this is that once I know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, then I will be filled with all the fullness of God. So the key is in knowing. And knowing is vital to our walk. So when I know, that's when I'll be filled with all the fullness of God. Let me ask you something this morning. Would you like to experience in your life here on earth more health, more abundance, more success in your life? Anyone for that, raise up your hand, please. Let's see them nice and high. Some people aren't that bothered. Most hands are up. I'm happy to say most hands are up. It's a sign to me that the people are listening. Thank you, Lord. Here's a journey we can take that'll take us to that place. Now, that's exciting. You see, the Word of God, if we hold the Word of God with integrity, it becomes exciting. It's no longer, I tell you the truth, I promise you this is the truth. I promise you from personal experience, this is the truth. I mean, I could give you testimony after, you've heard some of them, you haven't heard all of them. But we've got testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony of saying to before the Lord, Lord, this is what your word says. And so this is why we're going to do what we do. And I tell you what, it works out. I promise you, I'm preaching this morning, not for any other reason apart from I want the best for you in life. That's what I want. I want the best for you. I want the best for Living Faith Church and anyone in Living Faith Church. I want the best for you. And I know what the best is. The best is Jesus. And Jesus' will is revealed in his word. Amen? Amen? And I promise you, not on my promise though, do what the scripture says. Taste and see that the Lord is good. taste and see and watch what happens when we follow the word of God and when we apply it to our lives with integrity. You see, it's no good if we apply it just casually. A casual approach, say, well, you know, I had one man who came up to me one time. He said, well, you know, this tithing thing, he said, you know, I've tried it and, you know, it doesn't really work for, I just don't feel that, you know, it really hasn't helped me at all. You know, I've got so, you know, this. I said, well, that's your business. That's your business. As for me, my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do what God says in his word. We've always done that. We've always found that God proves himself. It's interesting. Jesus says the love of money is the root of all evil. The best way to break the love of money is to give money. And God has created a way for us to give money, to spend money. And the first thing is tithing and then gifts on top. It's a powerful way. We haven't emphasized it in this church. You'll notice if you look over the sermons in this church, we haven't emphasized it at all. I haven't gone into it. I haven't emphasized it because I'll tell you the truth. I haven't wanted to. I suppose I've been sensitive to it. I've sensed that for some people it's an issue. Maybe I've been too sensitive about it. But I'll promise you this. That's one of the areas that we, Micah and myself, decided that we weren't going to budge on that. And to that man who came up to me, that's all I could say to him was this. Well, you have made your decision. But I made my decision not based on the way I think. Not based on sums. Not based on anything other than the Word of God. Because if the Word of God says it, then that's good enough for me. And I'll tell you this, if you live that way, God backs you up. God is there undergirding your life. God is there with you, helping you. And for some people, it's such a big jump, they can't even conceive of it. They work out the figures, they can't even begin to conceive. But you know what? If you do what the Bible teaches to do, I promise you, you'll find out that God backs up his word. God is no man's debtor. But the key is this, for people to yield their lives to him, surrender to him, you see what he'll do in your life. He's wonderful and worthy to be praised. Amen? He's so wonderful. So this is one of the things. Now, watch this. If you want to experience more health, abundance, and success in our lives, God, being God, has all of these things. I'm sure that we all agree on that. Amen? God is all those things. So to be full of God, as the scripture we've read says, is to be full of health, abundance, and success. Okay? But how then does someone become full of God? Because let's just go to the scripture. It says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, if we're filled with all the fullness of God, we have success, we have prosperity, we have abundance, because to have the fullness of God, it implies all of those things. And this is what the New Testament wants for us. It wants the best of life for us. Well, I was in a church where they said that to know God and to follow him and to be filled with the fullness of God, I had to spend, you know, time in prayer. I mean, I've prayed and fasted for weeks. I've had experiences of also all night prayer meetings, of course, plenty of those. Praying in tongues, you know, that was encouraged for hours at a time. You know, all sorts of manner of things like this, and some of those, and then also in some places it was shouting very loud, as if that was some kind of spiritual, you know, thing. Now, I believe in all those things, including shouting very loud sometimes. But let there be a balance. You know, I mean, let me say this. I'm for all of those things. I'm for praying. I'm for praying through the night. I'm for praying in tongues. I'm for praying and fasting. at times. But let me tell you this, clear and resounding, none of those things lead us to the fullness of God. None of those things. That's a false teaching, because all of those things are about human works and effort. And human works and effort don't take us to the fullness of God. It's a delusion. I'll tell you this, the devil is very cunning. And we're not unaware of his schemes. If he can't trick you to go the wrong way, he'll set a diversion up for you. And it's a religious diversion so that you get waylaid doing the wrong things. And I'll tell you the truth, sometimes an all-night prayer meeting can be the wrong thing. I've met ladies who are praying for their husbands to be converted. And, you know, there was prayer meetings all through the week, and they were at every single one, there early, there at the end. I would say to them in the end, listen, it'd be far better for you to go home and cook your husband a nice meal. Show him some sweetness. It may be the way for wisdom to win him for the Lord. Because that's all he's seeing at the moment, is that you don't care about him, and this Jesus stuff has shown that, you know, you're not really interested in him anymore. You see? So everything needs balance. But watch now, the path that takes us to the fullness of God is this way. Who wants to know that path? If you go down that path, I promise everything's going to work out very well. Well, listen, life has trials. There are things that happen in life. But when I say everything works out well, what I'm saying is this. No matter what happens in your life, you will be buoyant. Your faith will be buoyant. You'll be victorious. Whatever the circumstances, when death comes, when death itself comes, we will say, listen, death, whoa, where's your sting? It's gone. Because to die is gain, as Paul wrote. Amen? So there's total victory in this way of living. And this is how we get there. It's not about what you do. It's not about praying, fasting, etc., etc. It's not about even our love for Jesus Christ. It's about knowing the love of Christ. That's it. When we know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, we will be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's read the scripture, Ephesians 3:19 again. Ephesians 3:19, it says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that's all. Just to know that. Once we know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you will be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what it's saying. It doesn't say praying and fasting and spending a week out there. No. Those are things that we do. This is something that we know. Can you see the difference? Can anyone see the difference? You see, the religious establishment has made it something that we do. Something that we do. It's something that I must do. I've got to do something in order to get to that place. But the Bible is teaching us it's not something we can do. There's nothing we can do. It's not about what I can do or you can do. What it says is to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's all I've got to do is know the love of Christ. Once I know that, I get filled with the fullness of God. And so, what does knowing mean? This is why knowing is so vital. What does knowing him really mean? Well, knowing him means that I spend time with him. Look, there was a time when I first met Micah. I went to San Francisco and I had to sign in for this conference that I was at, or whatever this couple of weeks was. Micah was a staff member, and she was sitting behind a table. And I walked in and with my friend, and I had to sign in this thing. And she had pink hair. Can you imagine? It was half blonde and half pink. I thought, What a curious looking lady. And so he's signing. And then I was invited to a Bible study. And the Bible study took place in this house. And there were people in the Bible study there. There were ex-drug addicts. There was prostitutes there. There was all sorts of people there. And the lady who gave the Bible study was Micah. And she spoke about dry bones coming to life. Well, I went away from that Bible study and I was driven back to where we were staying, the YWAM base, Youth with a Mission, and I couldn't stop thinking about her. Now, for anyone who likes romance, I describe it as if God sprinkled gold dust in the meeting. God did it. He sprinkled gold dust in the meeting. And my heart was just, I couldn't stop thinking about her. I didn't know her at this point, but I couldn't stop thinking about her. And then I started to ask questions about her. So I started to ask these questions, you see, and I started to gain facts about her. But I still didn't know her. But as I gained facts about her, I knew how old she was. I knew where she came from. I knew what she liked, what she didn't like. I knew that she liked Starbucks coffee. And you know, I started to get all these facts, but I didn't know her. Once I then fast forward, we went out to the Starbucks, we had a coffee. And then we started to write to each other. And then we met each other. And then we got married. And then as we got married, we started to know each other. We started to spend time with each other. You know, when we first were married, I said, you know, she's going to be very blessed with a husband like me. And she started to teach me all sorts of things. I would describe it like this. There's a thing in kitchens, men especially. It's a green, it's a thick substance. It's like Sofiga. But it's not Sofiga, men. It's called fairy liquid. And you just put it in the hot water, it makes all sorts of bubbles, and that's how you clean the dishes. I was learning all sorts of things. There's big wooden structures in bedrooms. I found out you could hang clothes up in those. And over a period of time, what happened was I grew to know her more. By being around her, spending time with her, and then watch what happens. As time goes by, I get to grow to know her more. And the more I get to know her, the more sensitive I am to what she wants. Now, this is a very clear parallel to what we have with Jesus. Jesus is saying to us, listen, to know him, when we know him, not know about him, not know facts about Jesus. I'm convinced that in the church, so many people know facts about him. They know, oh, Jesus. Yeah, we know about Jesus. Yeah, Jesus said this. Jesus said that. Yeah. But you don't know him necessarily. So many people know facts about Jesus. But really what Jesus is saying and what this scripture is saying is that we must know him. Let's read it again. It's from Ephesians 3, verse what?
19.
Thank you. Let's read it. And let's read it in the light of what I've just said, this illustration. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, it passes knowledge. My knowing Micah passes knowledge. It's more than knowledge. You can't quantify it. It's love. It's a love and it's a shared life. And it passes knowledge. And in that, what happens is we know each other. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. When we know Jesus in that way, that's when we are filled with the fullness of God. And we find it in our lives. There's nothing missing. There's nothing broken. We're living an abundant life. We're living the life that Jesus promised he came to give us. I've come that they may have life. And life abundant. Abundant life is what Jesus has for us. I promise you, if you want abundant life, if you want the fullness of God, if you want to see blessings in your life, if you want the riches of His grace, the riches of Jesus in your life, the fullness of God, the power of God, everything that God has for you, God has called you, He's equipped you, He's given you provision. If you want that, I'll tell you how to do it. To know Jesus. Spend time with Him. Love Him. Say glory be to God. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. I want to spend time with Him. He's the beginning of the day. He's the end of the day. He's everything in the day. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is so wonderful. And you know, I know that when a church lives for Jesus, when a church is loving Jesus in this way, when we're spending time with Jesus, I tell you what, the proof is this. We will be filled with all the fullness of God. And people will look at your life and say, what? You're different. Your life is a blessed life. How come you're not going around with, you drive around this area, you've seen the faces of the people? Have you seen them? Have you seen them? I've seen them. I've been looking at them. There's some funny faces going around, but in a bad way. I mean, you know, just people looking so miserable, down, walking in defeat. Just hunched, walking in defeat, miserable looking faces. Oh, do you know, I want to stop the car sometimes. I want to go out and say, look, please, will you just accept Jesus? Oh, please, look, it can all be over. All this trial that whatever it is you're going through, it can all be over now. If you just pay attention and listen to what I'm telling you. I want to do that. On a couple of occasions, I've done things similar to that. Because you just know the riches of His grace are available. But you see, when you know Jesus, when I know Jesus, and we as Living Faith Church know Jesus, that's when that starts to make an impact in those houses, in those people, in those faces. And then that's when this church starts to really make a dramatic impact into this whole area. That's what God wants to happen. And that's the truth of it. Let me just give these out to people. I want to give these. Micah, you've got one, I know. I'm so happy this morning to have my mum here, who's such a blessing to us. Have we got these? People have these? Does anyone carry one of these around with them? Or read it at any point? Yeah. Give out that side. Give out this side. Just look at these. The writing's a little small. We're going to have them produced in A5 size. But have a look at these. These in here are contained the things that will really help. Thank you. Hello, sweetie. You got this. Thanks, son. Thank you, sweetie. It says point one, and I've just closed with this. Watch this now. This is part of knowing the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Because to know Christ is to know His word. And to know His word means that we're part of His body, which is the church. And now this evening, I want to share a little bit on that, how it's vital, absolutely vital, for people to be part of the body, and how Jesus works within his body, and how legitimate it is for us to belong. And you know, as a church, this is why we have this. When people come into the church, there is something that's expected of everyone who comes in. And this is it. Number one, I'll protect the unity of my church. Point number two, I'll share the responsibility of my church. Point number three, I will serve the ministry of my church. And point number four, I will support the testimony of my church. Those are four very reasonable points for Christians to make when they come into a church. Wouldn't you all agree? And those points are consistent with knowing the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ is to feel that way about his church, because his church is his body. And when we know the love of Christ, we have that towards his church. And when we have that towards his church, we walk in harmony, we walk in peace, we walk in love towards one another. And I tell you the truth, what happens then is there's more of a commitment. I mean, I tell you, when you know, airy-fairy, people being airy-fairy about church, and, well, you know, we sort of, you know, we'll drift in, easy come, easy go. No, there's a commitment, there's a belonging, there's a responsibility, there's a love, there's a family. And family is a deep relationship. It speaks of commitment, family does. Amen? Let's just stand.